Well, hello and welcome, everybody. Today on Voices of Courage, we are diving into one of the most important conversations of our time, the future of health, brain performance, and hidden factors that may silently shape the quality of your life. You know, we live in a world where millions of people are struggling with fatigue, brain fog, chronic inflammation, anxiety, memory decline, and emotional exhaustion. And while modern medicine has made extraordinary achievement in emergency care and disease management, many people still find themselves asking a deeper question. Why are so many individuals becoming chronically unwell despite all of the technology, the information, and the innovation? You know, perhaps the answer is not about treating symptoms. Perhaps the answer lies in understanding the body as an interconnected system, one that deeply influences is deeply influenced by what we consume, how we move, how we think, and how we live our lifestyle. So today's a conversation that goes beyond surface level trends. We're exploring the science of human optimization, brain health, nutrition, and how we can reduce inflammation in the body and take your life to a completely new level. You know, one of the greatest tragedies in modern society is that people often wait until crisis strikes before they begin paying attention to their health. Yet truly, vitality is not built on the emergency room. It's built in the daily choices we make over years and decades. The foods we eat, the stress we carry, the sleep we neglect, the movement we avoid, the thoughts we repeatedly think, all of these create biochemical signals and they either support our healing or accelerate our breakdown. So today I have a very special guest on my show. He's going to help lead this conversation. He's a researcher, he's an author, an educator. I'll introduce him properly in just a minute, but I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have my special guest on this show. We will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased. Naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. My very special guest is Dr. John Lewis. Dr. Lewis, welcome to the show. It's great to have you today.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here. I look forward to our conversation today.
Well, I look forward to it, too. And for those of you that don't know Dr. John, he is a clinical nutritionist, a researcher, an educator specializing in the science of nutrition and its impact on human performance, brain health, and aging. He serves as a faculty member at the University of Miami, where his work focuses on evidence-based approaches to improving health and longevity through targeted nutrition. Dr. Lewis is widely recognized for his research on plant-based compounds, cognitive function, and recovery, and he's passionate about translating complex science into practical strategies and words that we can understand to help individuals optimize their health and resilience and increase the quality of their lives. That's quite a bit. You've been doing it for a long time. I guess for those that you don't know you, why did you get into this this field?
Well, first of all, thank you for that very kind introduction. That was really, really nice. I really appreciate that. The why for me, Ken, would probably go all the way back to when I was a little kid, when I started playing sports as a pretty young child. My grandfather, bless that guy's heart, he had the worst rheumatoid arthritis you ever had seen in your life, but yet he still, with his pain and his totally disjointed fingers, I mean, the poor guy, I can still remember his fingers, how badly they were curved, but started pitching baseball to me, and it put me on a path to playing sports. I pretty much played anything that had a ball other than soccer growing up. After high school, I got into drug-free competitive bodybuilding, and I did that for a few years. I mean, it was fun while it lasted. I knew very early on I was not willing to take drugs. I was not willing to take the long-term risks of what steroids can do to people. It not necessarily happens to everybody, but certainly a lot of people have suffered from long-term side effects of steroid use. And maybe even just as importantly, I couldn't see a pathway to making a living as a bodybuilder. So it was really more of kind of a part-time pursuit that just was something that I've, again, enjoyed for a few years. But what I do credit bodybuilding for doing for me is that it shifted my perspective about food. Prior to that, I grew up in a family that had no, orientation toward health. I mean, we weren't just trying to be unhealthy, but we basically were like any other family in America. We ate for taste, right? I mean, that's how most people eat. You eat for taste. And so with bodybuilding, you have to have a very focused, almost, I like to refer to it as a professional approach to eating and your diet. And it was for a specific purpose. And so it shifted my mindset from just looking at food as something that tastes good or I'm hungry, let me satisfy this urge, to something that I need to perform a certain way. And then after I got out of competitive bodybuilding, I took another leap. I got into research. I was early in my research career at that point. Started working in some of the studies you mentioned in nutrition and exercise. And then I met a gentleman by the name of Dr. Reg McDaniel, who completely blew me away. He started telling me about his story from 20 years prior to that, so 40 years today for Dr. McDaniel, about these sugars from aloe vera. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? Like, most people, when you hear something about aloe vera, you really only think of one thing. You think of applying the gel as a topical solution for a cut or a sunburn. But Dr. McDaniel's telling me about the sugars in aloe vera and how he and his colleagues were working on things like different types of viruses, different types of cancers, neurodegeneration, genetic defects in children. I mean, just a whole host of health challenges that responded very favorably to these complex sugars or these polysaccharides in aloe vera. And it completely changed my life, not only my career, but my life. And we ended up running several clinical trials at the University of Miami on these polysaccharides. And now here I am today sharing this story about the research and especially to help people understand why aloe vera and rice bran is the other one that we've studied, why these two particular foods, these two particular nutrients are so incredibly effective and efficacious for human beings. And so my journey has been an interesting one. It's been a long and winding road, as the Beatles said. But I feel like, it's just something that I'm very passionate about, and I'm here to help people understand the value of these nutrients.
Well, I want to, before we take a deep dive into the nutrients, I want to ask you, is there a hidden connection between, let's say, chronic inflammation and brain deterioration?
Great question, Ken. I would say there is absolutely zero question about that today. Whether you want to talk about the brain, the heart, the kidneys, the liver, every major organ system is negatively, detrimentally affected by this thing that we refer to as chronic inflammation. And so there's a very strong link in basically any branch of medical or health science where you can find links. that strongly predict if you're chronically inflamed over time, you're going to eventually suffer some type of chronic disease due to, at least partially due to that. I'm not saying it's 100% the predictor, but certainly a big part of the predictor of that equation of getting some type of clinical diagnosis.
Well, you know, I mean, when you're talking about your parents, you know, with the chronic rheumatoid arthritis, I had a grandmother and a father that both had that. And, you know, again, they didn't, you know, they were obese by today's standards, and they, you know, they ate for taste. They just ate whatever they wanted. They didn't think about, you know, what they were putting in their body. And, you know, they kind of were back on the four food groups that the AMA at the time was endorsing way back when. I don't know how that is, but it really it wreaked havoc in their bodies. And I think there's a lot of people, maybe you're watching the show today, and you've got some, you know, pain in your body, right? Pain is just a warning sign. It's just like something's off here. We got to pay attention to it. And it's so many people deny that they just don't live. They think that it's just normal. Oh, I got back pain. I got a little brain fog. I'll just live with that.
Right.
That's not normal, people.
No, not at all. No, definitely not. You're right, Ken. I mean, so many people, as you just said, they ignore the signals, right? And our body, this thing, this body, this machine that we are inside of has this incredible intelligence. And I don't think the top 100 smartest people alive today can ever figure out what exactly this spark, this intelligence is inside of us, but it is so amazing. And if you ignore those signals, you do so at your own jeopardy, because to your point, it's telling you something is off. And if you just ignore that, then you just kind of keep kicking the ball down the road, so to speak. You're eventually going to end up with something far worse than maybe what you might deal with currently.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, as you know, I'm you know, became a runner and then a cyclist and then the swimmer. And then I went into triathlon for 20 years. And,
wow.
You know, I'd get these people saying, oh, you know, if you keep running, you're biking, you know, you're going to wear out your body. And, yeah, these weird things. I like, you don't wear out your body. Okay, you pay attention to your body and what your body needs. You know, I'm in my mid-70s. I don't have any pain or chronic pain in my body, okay? But it's because of adjustments along the way. And the number one adjustment is putting in healthy nutrition in my gut and my brain. Number one.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No question about it. I mean, if you pointed a gun to my head and said, John, what's the most important or significant lifestyle behavior that you can either use to your benefit or would work against your detriment, depending on how you approach it, without question, Ken, if you look at the literature, it's nutrition. It's all the dietary factors that we stick into our mouths. By far, it's the number one most important behavior, other than smoking, of course. Smoking obviously has very significant links to certain forms of heart disease and different types of cancers. But I mean, beyond smoking, nutrition far and away is your most important, either your benefactor or your whatever the opposite of benefactor is, something that's very detrimental to you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I just plus that the moving the body. You got to move your body. You got to move it. You know, you got to exercise it. If not, you know, I was just listening to a friend of mine tell me about their parent. Their parent is in their mid-70s. Healthy. They look healthy from the outside. They're slim and but, you know, they've got stents in their body, and, you know, they've had chronic stress. You know, it's, you know, high blood pressure now. And, you know, but they did all everything, quote, right, except they didn't move their body.
Wow.
Well, interesting. Interesting.
Very interesting. Well, I would definitely put exercise and physical activity as number two on my priority list in terms of the things and my pillars of an overall and comprehensive approach to health and wellness. I used to think, actually, before I got into the polysaccharide research and really went down the nutrition pathway, I used to think exercise was number one, and it's still a close number two, but I've just shifted my perspective slightly to put exercise number two behind nutrition.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you got to have fuel. You got to fuel to, you know, if the body doesn't have the right fuel, it's not going to perform at optimal performance. It's
right.
go to the gas station and fill your car up with diesel, right? You know, just not going to run the same, okay? And yet that's what we put in a lot of times in our bodies, things that's like right. diesel. Well, we're not talking about that today. Listen, what we are talking about is how nutrition plays in memory, mood, and emotional resilience. And we're going to come back. I got to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about polysaccharides. And if you haven't heard about them, you really need to pay attention because this is an important piece for your nutrition. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with Dr. John Lewis, and we want to take a little dive into saccharides. Who knows what saccharides are? I know I didn't, you know, until I had you on my show. But let's talk about that.
Well, that's the...
Why are they important? Why are they important for our memory, our brain, our health, our vitality?
Ken, as you know, that's the million-dollar word for me. That's the word that really defines basically the last 20 years of my life in terms of where I've gone as a researcher and now where I am as a businessman and really both. But polysaccharides, complex sugars, if you look at the two roots of that word, poly, many, saccharide, sugar, they are unlike the simple sweeteners, the simple sugars like fructose or sucrose, that commonly get the bad rap, right? And we talked about this before. I mean, it drives me crazy when I hear some so-called experts say all sugar is bad for you. That's an erroneous statement because sugars are not sugars, meaning that there are very, very different types. So the monosaccharides like fructose and the disaccharides like sucrose, white table sugar, I would agree. These are the kinds of sugars that you probably want to limit a little bit. You don't want to just consume copious amounts of these all day, every day. That's probably not your best metabolic health strategy. But oligosaccharides, these are like the type found in breast milk that are very important for the baby to get from its mother. These are like 8 to 10 molecules of sugar. And then finally, the polysaccharides, the ones that we've studied from aloe vera and rice bran, Ken, these things are thousands of molecules of sugar. So they're like 5D structures. They're not only long, but they have these different angles as you go down the chain. I mean, they're incredibly dense. And all of this coded information, our working theory, Dr. McDaniel and I, our working theory is that because they have all of this just so dense information coded in them that our genes interpret when we consume them and then instruct our cells on how to function, this is the reason why these things are so valuable and so efficacious. So,
I want to have a question for you around that because I hear that. Sure. And, you know, we have been told that, sugars and some of the sugar substitutes are not good for us, right? And, right. You know, and I know there's been some research that I read, maybe it's true or not. I'll ask you, you're the researcher. Where they tell me that white cane processed sugar is like one molecule away from cocaine. And I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but you know, it seems to be one of the most addictive substances on the planet. So I think those kind of sugars we don't want to necessarily put in our body, right?
I agree with you. I mean, again, we're talking about completely different, even though generically sugar, carbohydrate, saccharide, those are all synonyms, but they're very, very different. It's like, you know, the car analogy would be like saying, yeah. Well, you have a Ferrari, Ken. I mean, I have a Toyota. What's the difference? They're both cars. No, they're very different, right? Same thing with sugars. Fructose and sucrose and the sweetener that you just mentioned that comes from cane sugar, those are very different. Those are giving you like a little quick high, a burst of energy. But these polysaccharides work on an entirely different level. They are required for our cells to do very different things besides just produce ATP or cellular energy. So, for example, what we showed, going back to the last segment we were discussing briefly, inflammation, we've showed that these polysaccharides can help lower chronic inflammation. Very, very important. And again, you won't hear this kind of research from amino acids, fatty acids. I mean, that's like basically heresy in that branch of the scientific literature. Those proteins and fatty acids are not known to do what these polysaccharides can do. And essentially, Ken, they are like signaling mechanisms to the immune system. So along with tampering down that inflammation, we also showed improvements in overall immune system functioning. We showed improvement in adult stem cell production, which is incredible. And then in the Alzheimer's study, we showed a statistically and clinically significant improvement in cognitive function in people who had moderate to severe Alzheimer's disease. Again, unheard of. There's nothing else like that in the scientific literature. And that's the reason why these polysaccharides are so special compared to the simple saccharides or basically any other kind of nutrient out there.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. That's really powerful. All right. So once, you mentioned in the segment before that the aloe vera and, a lot of people think about pulling it out of skin and that stuff works really well to heal burns and things like that, sunburns, just instant almost. These polysaccharides, okay. So what I'm hearing you say is that you're using aloe vera to pull these polysaccharides out of the aloe vera. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Into a usable product. Cause I don't know about you, but munching on a branch of aloe vera just doesn't taste good. So, not happening. Yeah.
Well, that gel is,
I've tried drinking aloe vera juice and that also is like, I don't think so. Not for me, maybe for somebody else, but yeah.
Agree with you 100%. That Interleaf gel tastes nasty, and it's 99.something% water. So you're exactly correct, Ken. Those topical, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those topical products or even the juice products.
No, there's nothing wrong with the topicals. Yeah, they're awesome, actually.
Yep, exactly. I mean, even the juice drink, to me, that's more of marketing hype than actually getting physiological or therapeutic benefit. But with our formula, what we did was take the water out of it. So it's been dehydrated. And then the polysaccharides are concentrated into an amount, which isn't much. I mean, we're talking a few hundred milligrams to maybe a couple of grams per day, depending on, your age and your health status and some other things. But we're really putting it into this concentrated powder that, again, is totally different from the gel that you put on topically when you do have a sunburn or something on your skin. Totally different.
The concentrated powder. In fact, do you have a picture of the tub there? We can put up there for a second.
Sure. So this is
So we got the tub. That's concentrated powder, and it's daily brain care. Dr. Lewis's daily brain care. What's in that? Tell me about that.
Sure. So this is the formula that we tested in the clinical trial in Alzheimer's disease. We had a sister clinical trial in people with multiple sclerosis. We have, what is basically unmatched in the marketplace, Ken. We have a formula that's been tested with these two clinical trials that have 7 papers published in the scientific literature from those two studies. So you have the aloe polysaccharide that we've just been talking about. You have the rice bran polysaccharide, which again is in an incredible nutritional powerhouse. Most of the world does not eat brown rice. When you look at brown rice, the layer that makes it brown is the bran, the rice bran. But most of the world eats the white rice that has the bran stripped off of it, and that's just the white endosperm that's left. Then you have other things in there like golden flaxseed. Flaxseed's an incredible nutrient. It's got omega-3 fatty acid. It's got a phytonutrient called lignans. These are very important for the immune system's functioning as well. It's even a good source of fiber. You have in there sunflower lecithin. Lecithin is a very nice source of choline. Choline is a metabolic precursor to a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine. This is very important for brain function. You have in there tart cherry. Tart cherry is another nutritional powerhouse. One of the reasons why people report sleeping better with daily brain care is because tart cherry is, a natural source of melatonin. You have in there N-acetylcysteine. N-acetylcysteine is the metabolic precursor to glutathione, one of our most important antioxidants, which we make less of as we age. You have in there a montmorillonite clay from a deep water lake in Mississippi. This thing is loaded with all kinds of minerals, and it also is a very potent chelator. It pulls out all the bad stuff that unfortunately accumulates in our body over time due to pollution and exposure and all this stuff that we can't really do too much about unless we're living in a bubble, which obviously we're not. Then you have in there something called Dioscorea. This is a Mexican wild yam. Again, it's another rich source of polysaccharides, but it also has materials in it called saponins. These help to regulate our hormones, regulate our endocrine system. Then you have in there citric acid. Citric acid is one of the metabolic precursors that the cells use to make cellular energy, ATP. And folks, it's not the crappy synthetic type that unfortunately a lot of companies use from black mold fermentation. This is from natural citrus flavor. I'm sorry, natural citrus sources. And then finally, you have in there vanilla. Vanilla is not only enhancing the flavor, but it also has brain and heart benefit as well. So every nutrient, every ingredient in Daily Brain Care is for a specific targeted purpose. Oh, and I forgot one more. Inositol hexaphosphate. This is also a derivative of rice bran. It has very interesting signaling components to it, to the immune system, to help keep the immune system balanced and functioning properly. So we have an amazing formula that's backed up by a lot of science. I put my name on the label and I stand behind it. My whole family takes it. I've been a big believer of all these the mechanisms of action of these polysaccharides for now going on 20 years, Ken. So this is my life's work. I mean, Daily Brain Care. I have two children, but I also have this inanimate child called Daily Brain Care that's the culmination of my most important life's work.
I love this. Well, I got to take a quick break. We come back. You also have the this in the capsules. And I'm going to talk about the capsules when we get back from the break. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Dr. John Lewis today. And what an information. Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, what you just went over with the ingredients on the product. And wondering myself, how did you find, it must take years to do all the research to get this just right. I'm just saying.
Ken, it did. I mean, again, this is my life's work. This is literally the last 20 years of my life looking at these materials, studying their effects in people, publishing the data, I don't think you and I really talked about why I left academics too much in our previous
conversation. We didn't talk about that, but I'm curious.
Yeah. Yes, we didn't get into that, but you know, getting all of that work published and then now moving into the business world, even though I still have my voluntary appointment at the university, I still have an academic appointment, but I'm focused now on really spreading this message based on the research and hoping to share with people who would find this information useful and inspirational and want to take advantage of it, quite frankly.
Well, how do they take, well, yeah, let me, from before I get to how do you take advantage of it? Well, you can tell them, then why I want to talk about the other capsules that I've been taking.
Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, the capsules, you know, as I believe it was Abraham Lincoln who said, you can't please everybody. We had, you know, occasionally people would complain about either the taste or the texture of the powder. So we said, well, you know what? I don't know what percentage of that is. Fortunately, it hasn't been a huge percentage, but we said, let's go ahead and make a capsule version of it as well. It's the exact same formulation. So, Ken, it really just depends on your own preference. Like, do you prefer powders? I actually like the powder better.
We put the powder in the smoothie. So, I mean, exactly. it's basically neutral taste. And it's, you know, when I put it in, you know, with my strawberries and my other stuff we throw in there, you know, it's just great. So.
Yeah. Exactly. And to me, that's the perfect vehicle. Like I actually just scoop mine straight into my mouth, but I'm kind of a caveman approach, I guess you could say about it. But to me, the smoothie is the best food because you won't taste it, regardless of if it's more of like a green based smoothie or more of a fruit based smoothie. My smoothies are more of a fruit base with some nuts and seeds and some greens added to it. But you do not taste it in a smoothie. That's the beauty of a smoothie. So, again, the most important advantage for all of us is just to make sure you take these things every day. Like to your point about aloe vera, it tastes nasty. Nobody's going to drink the raw juice every day. It tastes nasty, and you'd have to drink bucket loads of that gel to get enough of the polysaccharide content to have any kind of benefit.
Well, and then, you're not gonna eat flax seeds, or tart cherry. I'm not gonna go in my closet and drink vanilla. I mean, it's just not happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, you know, I'm wondering. My question to you is, first of all, how do they get it? Where do they get the product at?
So Daily Brain Care in powder and capsule form, go to drlewisnutrition.com. That's our primary website. And we've got the store there. They can email us. They can phone us if they have any issues. It's loaded with information about the research, the ingredients, my life story. I mean, there's a whole host of information there. They can find us on any of the typical social media channels under the Dr. Lewis Nutrition handle as well. And then I actually like steering my customers or people that I would work with to Amazon. But of course, if you don't have your presence on Amazon today, it's kind of like, you know, 20 years ago going to the mall and not finding your favorite store there. So you definitely can go to Amazon and find Daily Brain Care and our other products there as well.
Okay, very good. So I'm wondering, how did you know how to put the combination together? Like, you know, there's so many things you could have put in these products.
Right.
You know, literally thousands of ingredients. Why did you choose the exact formula that you have?
So this was a back and forth between Dr. McDaniel and I. We talked about, obviously, with his experience with the polysaccharides, he was, you know, again, so just, I mean, you want to talk about a guy that's a walking encyclopedia, was just telling me all of these incredible experiences that he had had up to that point, which he's had 20 years more since he and I met. And so there was definitely like a back and forth of the different ingredients. And we were really trying to find, you know, with everybody, I mean, of course, there's a certain group of people out there that they don't have an issue with whatever things cost. They can pay for it, right? They're wealthy. They have money. To them, it doesn't matter. But the majority of people, you try to look for something that has, you know, that sort of, you're trying to balance that effectiveness with being cost effective, right? You want to have efficacy, but you also want to be cost effective at the same time. So we looked at a number of different things that we felt like had the potential to be very effective. For example, the clay. The clay is a relatively inexpensive material, but my goodness, it's so effective. So it was just a matter of like putting together enough things that we felt like were cost effective, would be efficacious, and then also just from a materials perspective, you know, just being able to combine everything all together and make it taste good and things like that. I mean, just the practicality of it, right? I mean, that's a different consideration. So there were definitely lots of discussions and conversations that went into all that, but ultimately that's what we came up with. And again, absolutely right. We could throw in curcumin, we could throw in lion's mane mushroom or other types of mushrooms. I mean, there's an almost unlimited number of things that could be added to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. But by the way, we're showing on our screen right now, drlewisnutrition.com, drlewisnutrition.com for my listening audience. I'm repeating it for you. Are there specific foods or habits or toxins that you believe are silently damaging the brain on a massive scale?
Oh, Ken, that's a great question. I think one of the things that is that most people think is actually they're doing themselves benefit when in reality they're actually causing themselves harm, and that is drinking alcohol. So there have been a lot of studies, or I should say a lot of articles, not studies. I don't know how many studies are behind the articles, but there have been a lot of articles over the last decade showing, just reinforcing the idea that not only is alcohol a known neurotoxin, especially when it gets broken down into some of its components, the acetaldehyde is actually even more neurotoxic than alcohol itself is, which is scary. But then you combine that with the increased risk of different types of cancers. So now juxtapose that position with what we've been told for what the last, I don't know, probably since the 90s. I don't remember exactly when the message started getting more popular that if you drank your glass or two of red wine every night, you were getting your resveratrol and you were getting this really important nutrient, this antioxidant that was going to help you protect your heart, keep your cardiovascular system effective. Ken, the lie behind that, though, is that you would have to drink like 200 glasses of wine to get the same amount of resveratrol that is tested in the clinical trials to actually show that there's any benefit to that. Like you get like a microscopic amount of resveratrol in your one or two glasses of red wine. It's doing nothing for your cardiovascular system. And yet you are killing your brain with the alcohol in the wine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and
acetaldehyde. Yes. It's a metabolic byproduct of the alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, my thought is back in the 70s or 80s, they found some guy in Italy that lived to be 90, and he drank wine, and he drank wine, you know, one glass a day, and they made him the, you know, the star. You know,
that's right.
They did research around that or whatever. But I like, you know, in this show, we like to bring out the truth, and, you know, the truth is far from what people are thinking. You know, with your research, is it harmful? I mean, even one glass of wine or one glass of alcohol or
exactly, Ken, that's the thing. Like a lot of these recent articles are showing, especially for women and their risk of breast cancer, that you're actually like there's no safe limit anymore. Like you think of it as being exposed to like uranium or plutonium or mercury, you know, some of these really toxic elements in the environment. That's the risk of drinking even just like one glass of wine or having one beer or one mixed drink or, you know, whatever your preferred drink is. Like it's literally that bad for you now. Like, and again, I know that I'm not winning any favors with the alcohol industry by making this point. And this is not my opinion. This is what the research is suggesting. This isn't an opinionated statement. This is what the research is showing. And this is why now some of the so-called experts out there are saying there is no safe amount for alcohol, just like there's no safe amount for smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, there's no safe amount for, drinking toxins, I mean, of any kind, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. So
the bottom line is alcohol is a neurotoxin. That's the bottom line, whether you're drinking a glass of wine a day or having a fifth of Jack Daniels a day, you know, regardless of how much it is that you're consuming, it's neurotoxic.
So we're finding now that it's actually killing off brain cells when you drink. That's
right.
The bottom line. So if you want to lose your memory, you know, keep drinking.
Keep drinking.
You know, good choice. I mean, you can do that.
Ignorance is bliss, right?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, maybe that's why some people listen to my show and then don't listen. Like, I don't want to hear that stuff. That's messing with my lifestyle. That's messing with who I am here.
That's right.
My whole identity is built around this beautiful glass of wine I have every night and all
that's right.
All my beautiful glasses I bought. pictures and all the money I've invested in. And now you're telling me even one glass is toxic for my brain. Yeah, so we're telling you, sorry, man.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, listen, and my audience, by the way, it's progress, not perfection. You don't have to quit right now, but you know, think about it. Think about it. Because it's about replacing, you know, what I do. I mean, what do you feel? What's your thoughts on kombucha? You drink kombucha at all? You know, do you know about that?
I do. I mean, it's okay. It's not my favorite taste. If somebody offers it to me, I'll drink it. But we don't have it regularly in the house. I mean, it's clearly got some very potent benefits to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, what I was going to suggest is, you know, have a little kombucha in the evening instead of your wine, and also have a shot of now brain food. Right. So we want to have, we really want to do that.
Well,
what time of day should we take the nutrition?
Well, that's a great question too, Ken. Like, so my regimen is I take five to six scoops of the powder every day. So when I get up in the morning, obviously I'm on an empty stomach. I have my first round of supplements, including my daily brain care. So I do three scoops then. And then after dinner, which may be, you know, an hour or so after, not right after I eat, I'll have my next dose, again, 2 to 3 scoops. So I try to spread mine out through the waking hour. If it's too inconvenient for people to even do twice a day, then just take your entire dose at once. It's better than not at all, obviously. But if you can, try to spread it out just a little bit through the day. That way the body is able to utilize it more while you're awake. And then some people have actually, I don't know if you've experienced this, some people have actually reported that they get such a good feeling. There's no caffeine in it, no stimulants. So it's not working on that level, but they get like a boost of energy, let's say. And so they can't take it too late in the evening or else it interferes with their sleep a little bit. So they're kind of the opposite of the people who say they sleep better with it because of the melatonin. For, you know, we're all different, obviously, and so people have different reactions. But I would just say there's no perfect time of the day to take it. Maybe it's better with food. I don't know that for sure. Again, I'm doing it both ways. So one way or the other to me is not really as important as just daily consumption.
Yeah, daily consumption. Yeah, it's been my experience getting off of caffeine and all the stimulants that and using the products that we're talking about here. You have more energy. It's just that you have more energy. You need less sleep. You just you feel better and you're more productive. I know I am much more productive.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're just about out of time here. So we put up on the screen again, drlewisnutrition.com. Again, you can get the product there or you can get it on Amazon. What are final thoughts around here that you want my audience to really know about this product and about your research here?
Well, Ken, again, I would reemphasize that daily brain care is unlike pretty much any other product on the market in terms of all of the work that my colleagues and I have put into this for the last 2 decades. In fact, if you add up all the decades of myself, Dr. McDaniel, his colleagues, some of our friends, we're literally talking, Ken, a couple of 100 years. I mean, we're talking like a ton of time that has been put into looking at these polysaccharides, both in the research lab and clinically in applied practice. And so this was not some idea I had in the shower one night to make money. This has been my life's work and my most significant part of my life's work. And so when you consider that and, you know, me taking it, my family takes it, I started both of my children on it when they turned 6 months of age, to my mother who, you know, she's been on it for like the last 13 years. I've been on it for about a decade. My wife has been on it 7 or 8 years. So, you know, this is a cradle to grave tool in your health toolbox that you can use to help control inflammation, boost your immune system, keep your adult stem cell production active, improve your cognitive function. I mean, do all these different things. And it's head to toe. Don't be misled or misguided by the name on the label. Just because we call it daily brain care doesn't mean that it doesn't matter if you have, oh, well, some people say, oh, well, I'm perfectly fine. I don't have any cognitive issues. No, it's not just about that. It's about feeding every cell in your body, which is what this formula does. And remember, we have 30 trillion or so cells in our body. So all those cells need these nutrients to function properly. And then also just don't look at daily brain care as like your magic bullet miracle solution either. You still have to exercise. You still have to eat well. You still have to sleep properly. You still have to manage your stress. You still have to do all these other things in a comprehensive approach to optimal health. But again, daily brain care can just be such a difference for people. And I've seen it in thousands and thousands of cases going forward. And so I'm just, you know, I'm a beacon of message of information about this, all this research that we've done and the polysaccharides and what a tool they can be that you're not getting in your typical diet, and how adding this tool can be a difference maker for people. And I appreciate the time that we've had and that we've shared again.
Well, I appreciate you educating our audience and myself on polysaccharides and the product. And I really like what you said here, Dr. John. You know, it's this is about adding it into your new lifestyle. This is a lifestyle change. This is something, you know, if you said cradle to grave. And it's you know, I don't know about my audience, but listen, I'd much rather add in my nutrition that's been researched, that has a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of trial around this and research. I'd rather add that into my system than be on some kind of medication for the rest of my life. Just saying, you know, that's what I do. You know, it's like back to the car analogy. You know, if you put premium food, you know, premium gas in your car, it's going to run better. It's going to do better. You know, and if you put premium food in your body, it's the same thing. Same thing. It's going to run better. You're going to operate better. You're going to have mental clarity. You're going to have more energy, vitality. You're going to feel great. You know, up until, I don't know when this ends. You know, I'm on this journey too, but I see my mentors ahead of me here, you know, in their 80s and 90s and 100s, and they're, you know, the ones that are taking the nutritions, the ones that are really paying attention and doing what it takes, they're feeling great in their 80s, 90s, 100. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't have the 100 mentors right now, but I do have the 80s and 90s. I can tell you that. All right. Thank you again for being here, Dr. John. It's been a
pleasure.
Thank
you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to thank all of you for being here and joining me today. You know, if you watch this show and pass it on to families and friends, that's how we all change. And you will be one of my, what do I want to say? You're going to be one of the people out there that can continue to see the unseeable and know the unknowable and be able to do the impossible. Take care.